Mark Maron. It's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor. How are you, lurking conservatives? How are you, Mark Riley?
I'm doing all right, man. How you doing?
I'll tell you one thing. When you do radio, it's amazing what you can do in 22 seconds, man.
There you go.
Yeah, I never thought in my life I would be able to look at a clock and say, all right, I got 40 seconds. That's plenty of time. Plenty of time to do whatever I need to do right now.
There you go.
So look, you know, we have an amazing fan in up there in Wyoming, Penelope in Wyoming. I don't know what she does up there or who she is, but every once in a while we get this box of stuff. Boy, did we get a box of stuff. There was like 20 CDs, there were greeting cards, there were Zots, there were things from your childhood. Pop Rocks were in there.
Pop Rocks!
Rolos, there was a frame with a Morning Sedition etched into it with all our names on it. It's just fascinating, the amount of stuff. There was some smoked salmon.
Wait a minute, did you geese the Rolos, man?
Yeah, I did. I got them right here.
You took the Rolos?
I got them, yeah, they're in my pocket. But I have to thank her personally because I don't know what's going on up there, what you got going. But yeah, it's so exciting to get your packages, Penelope. And that's what all Morning Sedition fans should know, that if you really want to make us happy, send us candy. What's up, Brendan?
You know, Penelope was the fan who sent us the engraved Morning Sedition, or actually the Air America Radio softball team baseball bat.
Oh, that's right.
This is an amazing woman.
Yes, and she sent the monogrammed hankies
to Mort Mortensen, and I think the Got Milf shirt for Cardinal Milfington came from Penelope. You know, she makes me feel bad because we've sent her some stuff as thank yous, thinking that we were being magnanimous, and then the way she thanks us for the stuff that we sent as thank yous is an even bigger care package.
Unbelievable. There was candy in there that I hadn't seen in years. So listen, next week, today is Friday. I'm very excited it's Friday. You know, Riley, I'm going to be taken off in about 45 minutes. I have to go on a secret mission to another medium.
Yo, the mission's been canceled, man. You can't leave.
No,
sorry.
I got to go, man. I'm going to have to split for
If you leave,
hour.
I leave.
Oh, then we're both going.
We'll have either best ofs or music.
I can't reveal what the secret mission to the other medium is until 8 o'clock when I come back, but I will be taking off for about an hour. I want to tell people that next week we're going to be in New Jersey. We'll be broadcasting live from Maxwell's in Hoboken, New Jersey, next Friday, October 7th, so stay tuned for details. Also want to say hello. You know, I mentioned the mic.
Yeah,
up there in Madison, Wisconsin, because they're great radio, great affiliate, and I got some affiliates jealous.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, an email came in. It's like, what about us? You know, and I don't want to alienate any of our affiliates because some of them are out there doing a great job for Air America, and I just want to say hello to our listeners in Burlington, Vermont, tuning in on WVAA 1390 AM. I will be up there in November for a couple of days. I'm doing a gig up there at the Higher Grounds, so I'll let you know more about that as we get closer to it, but I did want to say hello to WVAA 1390 AM in Burlington, Vermont, and all our listeners up there in Vermont. I love Vermont. I'm looking forward to going up there this time of year.
They're a great station, man. They do a lot of great stuff for Air America up there.
Now, apparently, they got trucks that drive around with our name
impressive.
On it. I wish we had that here in New York at the at the headquarters of Air America. You know, a truck with our name on it, or maybe a sticker even. I wouldn't mind a sticker. How about we got keychains, but how about a sticker or a T-shirt, or how about a billboard? A billboard with Morning Sedition on it? You know, maybe get behind the show. You know what? I'm not bitter. Here we go. Now that John Roberts was sworn in yesterday in a ceremony in Washington, so now it's time to get to the big work of limiting women to baby-making machines and minorities to poverty. Any day now, Bush could name a success for O'Connor. Is that right?
It may happen today.
Oh, yeah?
It could happen today. I don't know. You know, I think no matter when it happens, Karl Rove will determine when we know Bush's next nominee. And if you look at news cycles generally, Mark, in terms of media, this afternoon would be a good choice.
Yeah.
From Rove's perspective.
That's right, because it's Friday. People are like, I don't care about anything today. Most people don't care about much all week.
Yeah.
But other than
Friday special.
Right, exactly. Other than their lives and what's important to them and what's on their plate. played, and I understand that, but some people don't have the elevated concern for the ebbs and flows of the world or politics of the world, but I'll tell you, that's double. Like you said, on Friday, for most people, Friday is just like, I'm shutting down.
Yeah, and see, what happens on Friday, you do it late Friday, half the media is gone from D.C., there are fewer people to write about it, and then, of course, Bush will spread his minions out on the Sunday talk shows to talk up whoever the nominee is, so he's on the right foot come Monday morning.
All right, well, look, here's some, this news just keeps getting better. I tell you, as we all know, Tom DeLay has been indicted on criminal conspiracy charges. Criminal conspiracy charges, a felony in the state of Texas today, or maybe in the next few weeks. So I don't know. But what is that issue now is he gets to take the pre-perp walk.
Yeah.
The walk of shame to be fingerprinted and photographed. DeLay's attorneys are trying to get him out of this particular photo op, or at least negotiate on the with cuffs or without cuffs question. I say with cuffs and in his underwear. I say get the makers of Cops down there. Let's give America what it wants. And somebody, please, in Austin, if this goes down, if they mugshot this cat and they fingerprint him, I want pictures. I want them on the internet. I want as many as possible. I need a Tom DeLay mugshot t-shirt. I want it. I want it.
Let's start at the beginning here.
Yeah.
Why should Tom DeLay be treated any differently than some black kid that gets busted for possession of a small amount of marijuana?
Shouldn't.
You know, that person is going to get paraded. That person is going to get handcuffed. That person is going to go through the system.
That's right.
Why shouldn't Tom DeLay go through the system, whatever that is in Austin, Texas?
I celebrate that system, and I want him to go through that system. I want to see Tom DeLay in handcuffs. I want him to get his dirty little hands dirtier with the ink from a fingerprint blot. I want to see it happen. I want to see the mugshots with his one goofy eye looking the wrong way.
Well, you know what's really great about those perp walks is it gives the media an opportunity to ask a bunch of questions to some guy who's got deer in the headlights, and they know they can't answer. Tom, did you do it? Did you do it? And then they hand him the mic, and he just sort of looks at him and says, no comment, no comment. It's really, that's what the perp walks are really best known for, especially with famous people.
But he's pretty good at the evil eye, though, man. That guy will stare them right down, just do that weird, weird plastic satanic smile of his and go, everything's going to be okay. This Ronnie Earl's a fanatic. Ronnie Earl is not a fanatic. He's not a fanatic.
But see, the other side of this is, Mark, right now you are seeing what happens no matter how powerful a guy is, no matter how many roaches a guy has killed in his lifetime. If something happens bad to him, all of these people who've been living in mortal fear of him now are jumping around trying to take his place.
Oh, are you kidding, man? They're jockeying for position. They're chomping at the bit. And look, if you look at the list of politicians who have been nailed for crimes of one kind or another, it doesn't always shock the public, Riley, but it does chip away at their belief in elected officials, as well it should, but it's a sad case, you know, because really, you know, by and large, politicians are megalomaniacal, duplicitous, opportunistic puppets of business interests who think they can get away with anything. And those are the effective ones, right? The moral guys, you know, the good guys, the ones that chip away and do quiet work trying to facilitate change for the better of the people. And they're the underdog, and we need to flip that over. And I think that any time a public servant, somebody like Tom DeLay, who's gotten out of control because of hubris, who is a criminal, not unlike many criminals before him, like James Traffic, Kent in Ohio.
The worst Whig in Congress.
That's right. Or William Janklow, who ran that guy over. There's a whole list here that we have. Is that, you know, it may chip away, but it does maybe make room for people that could facilitate some change and who are maybe, you know, more decent politicians, because this stuff sticks. People remember this stuff. There's very few people in politics that can recover from even what DeLay is going through now already.
Well, see, he hasn't been convicted yet, and in America, you're innocent until proven guilty. But believe me, there are people who want to step into the vacuum that's been created, whether he's acquitted or not, because he will never go back to being House Majority Leader with the same amount of power, even if he's acquitted and he goes back to his office, because, you know, they cleaned out his office yesterday. Too,
they did? I thought
wasn't
there word a couple of days ago that he was going to keep it?
Well, no. He actually physically cleaned it out and moved it to the office that handles his congressional district stuff. Because, see, he's got a Majority Leader's office and he's got a congressional office.
Oh, where are the pictures of that?
I wish.
Just Tom DeLay boxing up his stuff with his intern or whatever that is, his page.
Probably his lawyer going through the pages to make sure there's nothing in there.
Check my book, man. Yeah, take all references to Abramoff out of my book.
Out of the book,
all of them.
$190,000, get rid of it.
Yeah, and take that $10,000 sewn into the lining of my Palm Pilot case, because that could get me in trouble. All right, well, look, you know, we got one criminal on the grill here that we just found out made a lot of money. A lot of money in what is considered maybe an inside trading scam. That's a Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist, and we're going to tell you how much he made. So stick around. It's 15 past the hour, Air America Radio's Morning Sedition.
Morning Sedition, Mark Maron and Mark Riley.
Don't just stare at it, eat it.
On Air America Radio.
Sedition old-time radio players present this installment of Morning Sedition Radio Theater.
This week, travel into the unknown on the Morning Sedition X-Files.
Riley, thank God I found you, man. This is going to sound crazy, but I was abducted by aliens last night.
Okay, take it easy, Mark. What's the last thing you remember?
Well, all right, I was on the examination table, and I was surrounded by all these strange little men, and I'm pretty sure I was probed.
Oh, that. You weren't abducted by aliens. You were just in a gay midget porn video.
What?
Yeah, someone slipped you a roofie and took you someplace in the Bronx. Here, I've got a copy.
We represent the Lollipop Guild, the Lollipop Guild, the Lollipop Guild, and in the name of the Lollipop Guild.
Oh, my God. I finally hit bottom.
Not yet. That's coming up in this part.
Ow! Stop hurting me!
Oh.
This has been The X-Files on Morning Sedition Radio Theater.
Yeah, okay. 21 past the hour. It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. It's Friday. Thank God. That's a dirty little bit of business, that one, that X-Files. But you know what we got coming up, Riley? I'll tell you, this is pretty exciting. An internet, you know, a couple of days ago on this show, we reported that an internet newscast called The Voice of the Caliphate was broadcast for the first time last week. It is apparently a production, that was last Monday, a production of Al-Qaeda. The anchorman apparently wore a black ski mask and an ammunition belt. He had a copy of the Quran. There was a rifle affixed on a tripod pointed at the camera. Well, they're also doing radio transmissions, which we were able to get a copy of. And this is, you know, this is heavy stuff, and we're gonna have that coming up in the next segment. So you want to stay tuned for that. Sometimes when you read the headlines, it can be tough to figure out just exactly what the mainstream media is saying. So luckily, we have the iNews 5000 Wi-Fi headline translator. Let's crank it up and feed it some headlines. Okay, from the from the Washington Post, Roberts confirmed as Chief Justice. Translation, Roberts proves survival of the blandest.
Oh,
is that the one I picked? Oh, here we go. All right, from Chicago News, for Chicago Sun-Times, delay case gives Democrats an opening. Translation, delay case gives Democrats new opportunities to fail.
Oh,
wait, I think there's another one. Democrats poised for procrastination. That's more like it, yeah. From ABC News reports, Kate Moss checks into rehab, translation. Doctors call her chances for recovery slim. Oh, wait. How about this one? Model tries to purge image. Come on, what are you saying? Anorexia is not funny? When did that happen?
Oh,
no. Since when is anorexia not funny? I'm a male anorexic. I just, I'm not good at it. Here we go. So, what do we got? Senate Majority Top Dog Dr. Bill Frist, who is now under federal investigation by the SEC for insider trading, made between $2 and $6 million on his alleged little crime. Now, remember, folks, Martha Stewart, who was, you know, dragged through the media like some sort of with a scarlet A on her head, just about. I mean, yeah. You know, for her transgressions in terms of inside stock trading. Stewart was investigated for alleged inside trading for selling nearly 4,000 shares of M-Clone Systems the day before the FDA issued a ruling that was unfavorable for M-Clone. M-Clone stock plunged over 70% in the month after the news came out. This wasn't even her company. This was her buddy's company, some guy who was, you know, used to date her daughter. In June 2003, a federal grand jury in Manhattan indicted Stewart and her former broker on 9 criminal counts. Stewart was not indicted on the original charge of insider trading, but only for the cover-up that ensued. By selling, here's the kicker, by selling when she did, the government alleged Stewart avoided losses of over $45,000. That's it?
Which is about the same amount of money that an average corrupt New York politician makes off of
45 grand.
Yeah, 45 grand.
And here you got Bill Frist, right? Senator, the leader, House leader,
majority leader,
the big, the Senate leader, the big guy. Frist is now under formal investigation by the SEC for insider trading. The investigation centers on Frist's June 13th sales of shares in HCA, the hospital chain his family owns, a transaction completed just days before HCA's stock price fell on a disappointing July 13th profit outlook. All right. The Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights, a nonpartisan nonprofit watchdog group, says that Frist made between $2 million and $6 million by selling his HCA holdings just before stock values plummeted in the face of a bad earnings report. Now, the real catch to this, the reason why it shifted from inquiry into investigation is that the group basically he told his stockholders and the trustees that we're cool. Don't sell.
Everything's okay.
It's going to be great. We got a big big quarter coming up. And that's what
they had, a quarter.
But look at this. Martha Stewart, $45,000. She had to step down as head of her company. She had to go to jail. She had to be made a fool of in front of the entire country. Bill Frist is the Senate majority leader. He should not even be allowed to practice medicine.
Wait a minute. Are you saying he should be treated like Martha?
At least.
Okay.
At least.
Now, let me tell you something about the dirty little secret that's underneath all of this stuff, all right?
Yeah.
HCA's profitability, as are many for-profit hospital chains, is based largely on making sure that they treat as few uninsured people as possible. People don't pay. HCA doesn't make money. So what Bill Frist and his people were doing was saying, hey, all our patients pay. That's what they were telling their stockholders.
Yeah,
we don't have any uninsured. We don't treat blacks.
Yeah,
we don't treat poor people.
We don't do anything good.
Good. No. And in fact,
and we provide abortions on demand.
On demand. Yeah. I don't know where the shortfall came from, but the fact of the matter is that this place's profitability, Frist's money-making ability, depends largely on treating the fewest number of uninsured. And there are 45 million uninsured people in America.
Unbelievable. It's just unbelievable to me that this guy, he cannot worm out of this. I think he's got to go to prison. Can you wear a LoJack device in the Senate? Can you keep your job when you have the thing on your ankle?
I don't know. Can you put a big eye on your head so it says indicted?
I hope so. I certainly DeLay's going to have to wear one. That's great news. Listen, we're going to have this is heavy stuff. We have an Al-Qaeda newscast radio transmission after this. 27 past the hour, Air America Radio's Morning Sedition.
Morning Sedition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
Thirty-four past the hour at Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program, my friends. Good morning. It's Friday. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hi.
I got to tell you, this is a pretty big stuff. We've got a transmission from the Al-Qaeda radio network, and we're going to do that in just a few minutes. I'll explain to you a little more about what that is in a second, but it's powerful. It's powerful stuff.
Uh-oh.
For those of you who are tuning in, here are a few highlights of what we talked about on the program. It's time for today's Morning Sedition Cliff Notes. Tom DeLay will be forced to appear in Austin for his arraignment next month. DeLay's attorney said they didn't want him photographed or fingerprinted, adding that, quote, it's not like he's a criminal. All he's guilty of is committing a crime. And if he didn't get caught, he wouldn't even be here, end quote. DeLay's attorneys want a bond set for him so a corporation could pay it immediately and DeLay can avoid any stay in jail. John Roberts has been sworn in as the 17th Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. When Roberts was asked whether his wife approved or disapproved of him becoming Chief Justice, he said, quote, she didn't have a choice, but that's how we both like it, end quote. Roberts said, quote, he couldn't wait to sit on the bench and start a long, distinguished career of denying people their rights, end quote. A new study shows that poor people can't afford to buy healthy foods. Several health professionals have advocated government subsidies on vegetables and a junk food tax to make it possible for poor Americans to eat less fattening food. A White House insider said, quote, off the record, the president wants poor people to be obese and tired. If they lose weight, get their energy back, and get off the couch, they may head right for the White House and kill us all. All right. Those are the Cliff Notes for today. Now, look, you know, we reported a story a few days ago about last Monday, or the Monday of this week, which would be last Monday. An internet newscast called The Voice of the Caliphate was broadcast for the first time. It was a TV broadcast, apparently available on the computer there. It is apparently a production of Al-Qaeda. The anchorman wore a black ski mask. He had an ammunition belt on. There was a machine gun on a tripod pointed at the camera. They actually, apparently it's a once a week thing they're planning on doing. The lead segment was about Israel. They talked about Zarqawi. They had, the weird thing was, is that they actually had a commercial break. You know, during the broadcast.
That's right.
They had a commercial break in English for a movie called Total Jihad.
A blockbuster.
Yeah, a blockbuster in the Islamic
literally.
World.
Is that true?
Yeah, no, I'm not
it's
lying.
It's true.
It's true. I'm assuming it's true. It was documented in the news. It wasn't in a funny paper. But it makes sense that they would do this as opposed to rely on the mainstream media to actually put together something on their own. Now, we have got what I guess would be the radio version of this, because this is a shot as a TV show, the one that was reported, and I imagine you can get it on the computer. I don't know where, but we were able, through some sources here at Air America, to find the radio transmission. Now, the anchorman, if that's what you want to call him, said that the report would appear on the internet once a week. Well, you know, we're pretty proud of ourselves here because, you know, our crack Morning Sedition sources were able to obtain a copy of this newscast even before it hits the web. Can we play that, Chris? Or
from around the world, out of an undisclosed location, and from under a hood to hide our identity, this is Al Qaeda News.
Good evening. And by that, we mean death to American imperialism.
And George Bush.
All right, enough. I'm Mahmoud, and this is my partner, Mohammed. And this is Al-Qaeda News. Tonight's top story, the castrating witch, Lindy England, was sentenced to prison for abusing detainees at Abu Ghraib. Another news? No one is fooled!
Yes, my sources inform me Lindy England is secretly being rewarded with figs and sex with multiple partners. Turning to the world of sports. What am I looking, camera one or camera two? Camera one, camera two.
Camera two! Why don't you ever rehearse? Camera two! Camera two! Camera two! Camera two!
Turning to the world of sports, the baseball season is heading into the home stretch, with St. Louis and Chicago earning the most promising season stats. That can only mean one thing.
George Bush will fail and be ripped apart by jackals while he screams for mercy, as Allah wills it.
Yes, and Dick Cheney is still on the injury list.
Bush has already fallen into a trap in Iraq. Soon, worms will writhe in his bowels, and he will cry tears of fire.
And Houston looks like it's nailed down the National League wildcard spot.
Crap, I had $10 on Florida.
Coming up, Ahmed will bring you the Jihad Minute, and Abdullah will describe the tortures awaiting the infidel when Allah returns with his mighty scimitar. But first, Tina, our weather girl.
Hey, guys. It's going to be a hot one in Fallujah tomorrow, with temperatures in the low hundreds and a dust factor of 6. So why don't you get out that lightweight burka and head off to the beach for a last blast of summer?
Thanks, Tina.
She is the best hostage we have ever taken.
Oh, yes. And now we pause for a word from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Wendy Friesen. Do you want to quit smoking, lose weight, or die for jihad? My hypnotherapy can help you where everything else fails. Diet doesn't work. Program doesn't work. You come here, I will change brain. Now back to show. Back to show!
Okay, that's all today for Al Qaeda News.
Remember, if you don't like the news,
get it!
Bye-bye, everyone.
Oh, no. Yay!
Oh, Lord.
Yes.
Who produced that spot? I'm not standing anywhere near any of you people.
That's a real spot, man. That's going to be weak. You know, what's interesting is how much they say they don't want Americanized values, but it seems to me that as far as the format for radio or television, they definitely want that.
And movies. They have Total Jihad. The
Total Jihad. Oh, that was beautiful. That was beautiful. I don't even know where to go from there. You know, uh-oh. I'm leaving in a minute, Riley. You going to be all right?
No.
I'm leaving. I'm going on
Me
a secret secret mission to another medium.
I'm going in the bathroom and lock myself in till 9.
Yeah. Well, look, you know, listen to this. This is uplifting and good. Starting yesterday, all diesel fuel sold in Minnesota will be partly distilled from soybeans. Minnesota is the first state to pass a law to promote biodiesel. It's about time someone did something, Riley, to promote alternative energy. Biodiesel fuel is made from agricultural oils and fats. Aside from making sense environmentally, the new law is a reaction to oil being like $65 a barrel. Gas prices are over the top at over $3 a gallon in some places. The hurricanes have disrupted the flow of oil in all over the world. So, you know, I hope this is a beginning of a momentum, because mostly, apparently, Minnesota is the biggest producer of soybean based fuel, and a lot of it has been sold to Canada because they're smarter than us on an environmental level. I just hope that this really, you know, catches hold. My question is, why don't they just figure out a way to run cars on human fat? You know, why can't they just create some sort of interactive harness, like a fat to fuel interchange harness, where you can just put it on your kids, because it would serve two purposes. You could stay in shape, right?
Yeah.
And you could and you could eat whatever you wanted. I mean, imagine getting in the car with your parents and your dad says, "Put the harness on and eat that ice cream and those chips if you want to get to Disneyland today."
You know
why
what?
Can't they do that?
A century from now, they probably will. They'll figure out a way to do it.
Plug it right into your fat and go.
But you know, it's interesting here that it is Minnesota and not the feds who are putting this into place. I'm assuming it's A, going to cut down on pollution, B, hopefully going to save at least the truckers in Minnesota a little bit of money, because they're the ones that they're, you know, most trucks run on diesel fuel, so they are going to be the beneficiaries of this. But this is the kind of thing that the federal government, certainly the Agriculture Department, the Commerce Department, they ought to be working on these kinds of things.
I just wonder, you know, I don't know much about, I know it burns probably a bit cleaner, I don't know much about how biofuel burns, how vegetable oil fuel burns, but you know when you don't clean your kitchen for a while and you do a lot of frying or cooking in your kitchen, that everything gets that weird sheen, that sticky sheen of grease if you don't clean stuff properly, like me? Is that going to happen to our cities?
Let's hope not. Let's hope that through the combustion process.
Well, I'd rather it be that than air pollution and global warming. I'd rather have a thin sheet of vegetable oil on my skin, because that gives you a healthy look, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is not just the soybean stuff. I guess it's got a little diesel in it, too.
Yeah.
But it's great.
Yeah. I mean, some of these people were doing this bootlegging it a while back. I remember a year or two ago where people were running around into alleys or restaurants and taking old Frylator oil and processing that and reconfiguring their Volkswagen engines to run on the oil that was in the Frylators.
Somebody did that. Somebody actually had a funded project to do just that. The problem is that was before gas went up to $3 a gallon, too, by the way.
I wonder if those guys are still around, because it seemed like sort of an underground kind of thing where people hanging around restaurants. So, dudes, you going to clean the fryer today or what?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, like they order fries and they're complaining all day long. There's like three or four. I'm like, hey, man, there's something wrong with the oil. These fries taste stinky. Maybe it's time to change the oil because I need to take a trip. I'm planning a cross-country journey to the Washington March.
Hey, all hail to Minnesota, though.
I think it's a great thing, and I do hope that it catches on, because you know, it's at a point now where energy costs and what we're looking at for the winter in terms of heating oils and in terms of just gas oils, that this is going to be a rough winter for a lot of people, to the point now where credit card companies are starting to say that the amount of overdue credit, that the amount of money people owe credit card companies, is at the highest level it's almost ever been. And that is essentially because people are being pushed to the wall by the cost of what it takes to drive their cars, by the cost of what it takes to live in an economy that stinks for most people because of this administration. And also, you know, just in terms of, like, a lot of people are in transition. That's where people get stuck with this. And now credit card companies love it when people go into debt, because that's how they make money.
Well, yeah, they make money off the late fees. Yeah. The late fees are, you know, at one time it was just a little chunk of their revenue. Now it's become a big part. So they don't really care if you're late. They may send you a letter, but please just pay the late fee. Everything's okay.
That's right. And after October 17th, when the new bankruptcy legislation goes into effect, they can count on the bankruptcy court system of America to be their collection agency.
BCA? So,
yeah, exactly. Well, look, Riley, you hold down the fort for like an hour or so. I'm going to go do
Lock the door.
Secret mission to another medium, and we'll tell you about that at 8 o'clock when I return. So it's in Riley's hands from here on out. I'll be back soon. It's 45 past the hour. It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition.
MorningSedition.com. Our guests, our comedy, your blog. MorningSedition.com. Air America Radio.
Oh, yeah. It's 11 minutes before the hour, 49 minutes past. This is Morning Sedition. My name is Mark Riley. Maron left. Maybe it was my breath. I don't know exactly what the problem is. He's off on a secret mission. He will be back, however. Don't think people dragged him. Pashman and Brendan didn't drag him kicking and screaming out of the studio. If you're just waking up, Judith Miller, you remember her from the New York Times, doing time. Well, she's coming out of jail. And you know why? Because she ratted out her source after all this time. This is Plaingate back on the front burner. John Roberts has been confirmed and has been sworn in as the new Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. Expect an announcement from the Bush White House any day now, maybe even before the end of today, about who the other nominee, the nominee that will replace Sandra Day O'Connor. That may come before day's end. It's even worse than we thought in Iraq. The generals were on the Hill the other day, and they say, you know what? Not only are there fewer Iraqi troops ready to fight, but we're not even sure that what we told you a couple of months ago about when American troops can leave, we're not now sure whether that can, in fact, happen. Now, a lot of you probably have no idea what the New York, New Jersey metropolitan area is like. But we have an embarrassment of sports franchises in this town and in this area. We've got two baseball teams. We've got two football teams. I don't know how many. We got three hockey teams and two basketball teams, all in the New York metropolitan area. Well, the two football teams have had a very strange relationship with each other, stadium-wise, for about the past two decades or so. The Jets, the New York Jets, who used to play in Shea Stadium, found themselves without a home and wound up making a deal to stay at Giants Stadium. Got that? Giants Stadium in the Meadowlands of northern New Jersey. Well, that's been the case for 21 years. The Jets haven't really been that happy about it. So not too long ago, they went to the mayor of New York City and said, hey, build us a stadium in Manhattan. On the far west side of Manhattan, the most congested part of Manhattan. And that didn't happen for a number of reasons. And the mayor had a temporary setback in that regard. Well, now it looks like they've made a deal. The Jets and the Giants yesterday agreed to share a brand new stadium not far from the site of the old stadium. Maybe they're even going to tear down the old stadium to build up this new stadium. It's going to be part of what our good friend Jim Earl likes to call Xanadu, which is actually the name of a new shopping retail complex in northern New Jersey in the Meadowlands area.
Is that the Bruce Ratner thing, Ryan?
Yeah. No. Bruce Ratner is the Nets thing in Brooklyn.
Oh, okay. Xanadu is something separate.
Xanadu is North Jersey, swampland.
A new part of the Meadowlands.
A new part of the Meadowlands. Now, apparently, and I'd heard this thing floated once before, the Jets and the Giants now are going to have a little bit more equal sharing. Instead of Woody Johnson, who's the owner of the Jets, having to pay $1.1 billion, and that was before they put a spade in the earth, to build a stadium in Manhattan, he's going to split the $800 million cost to build this new place in the Meadowlands, which means he saves a great deal of money, which hopefully he can spend on the team and getting us a new quarterback, perhaps. Who knows? But what you're talking about now is a co-tenanted stadium. It's not going to be named Giant Stadium. It's not going to be named Jet Stadium. It will have a name that will be sold to the highest bidder. So, you know, who could have? Kellogg Brown and Root Stadium? I don't know. It will be some kind of new stadium name, and it will be equal. They will be equal partners in it, which they were not in Giant Stadium. That is Giants Stadium.
Oh, well, that's, you know, I mean, we're Giants fans, Pashman and myself, but, I mean, that is very sad when you watch a Jets game on television and you see that they've used, like, green tarp to cover up all the blue
all
and
the
red.
The whole stadium, is blue and red.
Right.
Yeah, I know. It's really sad. You're right, in its own way. And now, you know, they are looking at a possible model based on a stadium that they built to house two soccer teams in Munich, Germany. It looks kind of like a blimp. It's got this lighting technology around it that allows you to change the color of the stadium depending on which team is playing at home. And there is some talk that they will do the same kind of thing so that it will be Jets green when the Jets are at home and Giants blue when the Giants are at home. This is the first time, by the way, in the history of the National Football League that two teams have come together to build a stadium that they will both end up playing in.
And is this going to be NFL money being used to pay for some of this too? It's not going to be public funds, right? You know, like they were proposing here in Manhattan. Right?
No, it's not going to be public funds. Apparently, you know, Woody Johnson is going to reach deep into the Johnson family fortune, and the Tishes and the others are going to dig deep into the Tish family fortune on the Giants side.
Well, you know what else is interesting about it is that the NFL actually often helps contribute money to any time a team is getting
getting a new stadium, they have a fund that helps to pay for that, which is pretty great. But what's going to be interesting is that right now they have not yet decided if they're going to count this, if they're going to get money for two teams or two stadiums, since there's two teams playing in the stadium, or one stadium's worth of funds. And that difference could determine whether or not there's enough money for a retractable roof on the stadium.
Well, you know we're dealing with human beings here, right? And human beings want to get the most money possible out of other human beings.
Right.
So you can bet they're going to ask for two. They're not going to ask for one.
Right.
This
right.
is not this is not Mother Teresa, Woody Johnson, and the rest of them. Trust me, they're going to ask for two, and they may even get two.
There are scores of Jets fans that can tell you that Woody Johnson is not Mother Teresa. I guarantee you that. Boy, isn't Marin happy that he's not here right now for this conversation?
Having this sporting discussion. But hey, you know.
No. Well, as a Giants fan, overall, I'm happy about this. I'm okay with a new stadium. I'm okay if they're going to sell the name. I can deal with that. I don't mind the Jets getting a 50-50 share. My biggest concern is this retractable roof, because I do not want the Giants playing indoors. I don't like any football team that plays indoors, especially cold weather teams. Cold weather teams enjoy a huge home field advantage in the cold weather. It's fun to go to cold weather games, and I want it to be 0 degrees when I go to a game in December or January.
You know, you're like John Madden. John Madden runs that same thing about, oh, you got to play it out in the cold. That's where the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field and right. all that.
He's got OCD like John Madden, too.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? I hate freezing outdoors, all right? I don't like to go out, even to a nice sporting event. Because, you know, the only way that you can keep warm when you're at a sports event like this is to get lit. Right. And I mean, you really have to.
Right, and now that costs you about $50 a game.
Game, yeah, really. What is beer? Pashman, you know this. You're our resident sports expert. What's the cost of a cold one out there these days?
You can get one of those plastic bottles of beer, which I think is usually 16 or 18 ounces of beer, is like $6.50 or $7, give or take.
$7.
Yeah, that's a giant stadium. At Yankee Stadium, it's like $9.
At Yankee Stadium, it's $7 for a 12 ounce.
Right, right.
$7 for fermented hops.
Yeah.
Okay, is that what we're talking about here?
That's why you got to do your drinking in the parking lot before you go
before in. Before you go in, yeah. But, you know, I hope that this does work out for the both of them. I hope they... Do you know that the Giants are actually moving their training facility so they won't be too close to the new stadium and it won't look like it's theirs?
Right.
It's amazing how they're doing right. it.
Or at least they're doing it all on their own and they're not forcing
taxpayers
to do it. Yeah.
True.
Well, in Jersey, there would have been a revolt. You know, it's bad enough, and there's a problem potentially coming up with the Xanadu complex, where this is going to be located, a liquor license problem with local businesses that could cause some pretty big obstacles to all this, quite possibly. Now, Judith Miller is out of jail. John Roberts in as Supreme Court Justice. New nominee next. Iraq, worse than you thought. You think that's all we got? Stay with us. This is Air America Radio. Kids, it's 6 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning's Edition. My name is Mark Riley. In case you haven't noticed, Marin ain't here, but he's coming back, all right? He's on a secret mission. We'll tell you about it before our show's over today. Speaking of over today, a lot of things happening today. Judith Miller is getting sprung from the big house where she's been spending time for refusing to reveal her source in the Valerie Plame case. You remember Valerie Plame. She was the CIA operative who was outed, allegedly, by somebody in the White House, for God's sake. And Judith Miller, of course, having a source in said White House, who we now know is Scooter Libby, who was Dick Cheney's chief of staff, even though she didn't write an article, didn't write a word about her contact with Libby or about the story, the fact of the matter is, the prosecutor in this case, Mr. Fitzgerald, wanted some information from her, and when she didn't give it, she went inside. Now she has been released after a negotiation involving her lawyer, Scooter Libby's lawyer, everybody's lawyers, the judge, the prosecutor, everybody. So now she's out, and Scooter Libby was the source. Now, this could very well mean that Judith Miller's release will signal a reignition of the Plame case, which has been on the back burner now for about the past 2-3 months with all the hurricanes and that sort of thing. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens when Judith Miller is out, when Scooter Libby has to perhaps answer for some inconsistencies in some of the statements he's been making. And let's see what happens if, after Tom DeLay, someone in the White House gets led down the perp walk in cuffs. You know, we were talking last hour about the first state to require biodiesel. And this is the state of Minnesota. They have demanded that all diesel fuel sold in the state be partly distilled from soybeans. This is, of course, to try and sate our appetite for crude oil, which is getting to be ridiculous. We've got someone on the line that wants to speak to that issue. Kirby is listening on XM Radio. He's listening in the state of Illinois. Kirby, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
All right, man. What's up?
Well, I was just listening, and biodiesel.org has many statistics on the biodiesel factor. And in northern states, you can only use like a 20% biodiesel to number two diesel because of crystallization and the flow slows down.
This is in cold weather?
Yes.
Okay.
Originally, the diesel engine was designed to run on peanut oil.
Really?
So it can be used in warm climates at 100%.
Ah. So in other words, if you're down in Southern California or maybe even New Mexico, places like that where it doesn't get like frigidly cold, you could use 100% soy diesel?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
And why do you think Minnesota was the first state to require it?
They have a tendency to be liberal.
That's a good answer. That is a fantastic answer. I think you're absolutely right. Kirby, thanks a lot, man.
Sure thing.
You take care. So John Roberts, and I don't think this really surprised anybody. He is now the youngest Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court in 200 years. I think the last younger guy was 45, and I think he was sworn in 1801. So we're talking about a guy who's going to serve for an awfully long time. We still have no clue how he's going to rule on some of the pressing issues of the day, and he's going to have a bunch of them coming up, including the Anna Nicole Smith case. But we'll get into that a little bit later. George W. Bush, there was rampant speculation yesterday that he would name the replacement for Justice Sandra Day O'Connor today. Now there's rampant speculation that he will, in fact, not do that until next week, there is a point at which he wants to let John Roberts' nomination kind of seep into the America confirmation and swearing in to seep into the American consciousness, kind of do a little show trick with John Roberts before he nominates somebody. Now, could this mean that he is going to nominate one of those doctrinaire conservatives, a Priscilla Owen or a Janice Rogers Brown or a Michael Luttig, and he's preparing for a really tough court fight, so he wants to bask in the glory of John Roberts for as long as he can? I don't know. It's now subject to speculation, as is the report that he was going to do it today, as is the report that he won't do it until next week. He's hedging his bets and probably waiting to hear from Karl Rove on the BlackBerry or something to tell him when was the most propitious time to do this.
You know, Riley, I think that whenever the administration says something publicly, I always wonder exactly how truthful it is. It's just become the mode of things.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So when they are saying publicly that they're waiting because he just nominated Roberts and he's giving him some time, I have to immediately doubt that and wonder, is there some infighting going on within the administration as to who this pick is going to be?
You know, that's a very interesting point, Brendan, because we see in the House of Representatives, in the wake of what happened to Tom DeLay, the conservatives in the House kind of banding together and trying to make their influence felt. Now, those conservatives in the House are both social and economic conservatives. Remember that it is the social conservatives who have the biggest agenda here, that being, of course, Roe v. Wade. The economic conservatives could sit back and say, well, you know, we got a little bit with the bankruptcy bill, we got a little bit with this, we got a little bit with that. But the question of who this next court judge is, and by the way, Roberts was sworn in by the oldest justice on the court, Justice John Paul Stevens, who's something on the order of 85.
Yeah, we could have another
pick. Vacancy. Three's a charm. And, you know, if that happens, George W. Bush will imprint his legacy on the rest of our necks for a long time to come, certainly for the rest of my lifetime. Not a particularly appetizing prospect. And why, folks, it is so important that people come out and vote. Now, you know, the 2004 election is over and done, but it is important to note that there were 17 million more Americans who voted in 2004 than voted in 2000. If we get 17 million more in 2006 and 2008, Who knows what might happen? Who know? We might be talking about another President Clinton. You never know. Not to prejudice any, you know, because there are other Democrats that are, who is it? Evan Bayh is talking about running.
You know, I just saw a thing today calling Russ Feingold potential 2008 presidential nominee and using his stance on pulling out of Iraq as a real campaign buffer issue that he can actually run on. That'd be something I'd be interested to see.
Hey, you could do a lot worse this country than have a President Feingold. I can tell you that right now. Russ Feingold certainly as a man with the courage of his convictions, and he's disagreed publicly. Remember when Hillary Clinton got all up in his grill a couple of years ago about some issue and essentially almost cursed him out? So, you know, not all Democrats get along, but we see in this particular instance an opening for Democrats, certainly with the problems that DeLay is having and some of these other issues. And then the question, of course, as to exactly how hard the Democrats are prepared to fight the next nominee. We saw Roberts more or less sail through, I believe it was 22 Congress people. Yeah, 78 to 22. All 100 of them showed up and voted. Isn't that something? Anyway, 22 people, and I believe all of them were Democrats, voted against Roberts' confirmation. But you had some Democrats that went on the other side. Now the question is, are the Democrats prepared to filibuster if the wrong person gets nominated this time around? If Priscilla Owens is the nominee, is Chuck Schumer ready to stand on the floor of the Senate and talk until that nomination is withdrawn? That's the very real question that many people are facing here, because we are talking about the future of the country, ladies and gentlemen. This is not this is not a game. This is certainly the Bush people know it's not a game. And even in the face of all of the troubles facing the White House, facing people in Congress, the majority leader of both houses of Congress, if it were the Democrats, the Republicans would be jumping up and saying, these people can't even govern, for God's sake. There's too many of them in too much political trouble, too many of them in legal trouble, too many of them in criminal trouble. But the fact is, I don't know where folks' stones are on this, but hey, you know, people are not talking about getting rid of any of these folks other than through the legal process. I still maintain that George W. Bush has committed enough high crimes and misdemeanors, combined with a liberal dose of total incompetence, to warrant at least the formation of an exploratory committee to find out whether or not this guy really has to serve through the end of 2008. And, of course, we haven't even touched on Iraq yet. Iraq is a continuing ugly mess, and people who were telling us a few months ago that maybe we can start withdrawing troops are now suddenly backing up off of that, and people who told us there were substantial numbers of Iraqi troops ready to step into the breach and help secure the country are now backing off of that as well. We'll talk about all that and much more next. It's 15 minutes past the hour. This is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
MorningSedition.com. Our guests, our comedy, your blog. MorningSedition.com, Air America Radio.
You guys told me he was only going to the men's room. He'd be right back. What's going on here? 20 minutes past the hour. It's Morning Sedition. My name is Mark Riley. I don't know where Mark Maron is. No, I'm only kidding. He is on a super secret mission, and he'll be back within the hour, and he'll tell us exactly what it is he's been up to.
With that baby crying, though, I thought he was back in the studio.
Oh, my God. You better hope he ain't listening on XM, pal. Anyway, we got the crew here. Brendan B. Mac McDonald, Dan Pashman, Chris Lopresto. They're all here. Not to say who needs Marin or anything, but hey, we're rolling forward. Iraq is not rolling forward. It is a cauldron of continuing violence. Three suicide attackers exploded near simultaneous bombs in the car bombs, that is, in the heart of a mainly Shiite town near Baghdad, killing at least 99 people, wounding 124. In Ramadi, a roadside bomb exploded during combat Wednesday, killing 5 Americans, the deadliest single attack on U.S. forces since a roadside bomb killed 14 Marines on August 3rd. More than 160 people, including 13 U.S. service people, have been killed in Iraq during the past 4 days. It is a mess. It is a quagmire. It is getting worse. General George Casey, you may remember him. It wasn't too long ago he was telling us that American troops would be able to be moved out of Iraq gradually, maybe 20,000-30,000 by the end of the year, by the end of next year, that is, primarily because the Iraqi troops were getting better. The Iraqi soldiers were learning how to fight. The Americans were training them, and all was going well. Well, not exactly. Apparently now he's saying that the process of withdrawing troops depends on the results of the upcoming referendum, which, by the way, is coming up now in just about 2 weeks. That is the referendum on the Constitution, and there are elections set to take place if the Constitution passes. No one knows what happens if it does not. They got a very complicated formula there. But there's something going on here that I think is flying below the radar in Iraq, and that is the fact that most of these attacks, most of the violence, most of the dead are Shia. They are not going to sit back and allow this to continue to take place forever. It wasn't that long ago we talked to someone who had been on the ground in Iraq, and he said, look, there are retaliations going on the part of the Shiites, but it's not being publicized. We're not hearing a lot about it here in the U.S. If this kind of carnage, 160 people in 4 days, continues, don't think for a minute that the Shia will just sit back and take it. Sooner or later, they're going to get more confident about their role as the majority in Iraq. And they're going to vamp on some of these Sunnis. And then things are really going to get bloody. Things are really going to be a mess.
Do you think, Riley, that that's why the Iraqi troop levels aren't being able to be shored up, because of the fear of a Sunni uprising, of a Shiite uprising?
I think that may be part of the problem. I mean, look, the apparently these Iraqi troops are disappearing faster than cops in New Orleans. I mean, we're talking here about General Casey saying that now the number of fully autonomous Iraqi battalions is one. Now, it wasn't that long ago he was saying there were three. Where'd the rest of them go? Home?
And that issue, Mark, I think is so vital. I think that we all tend to kind of look to the number of attacks that we see and the number of people killed as some kind of a barometer for progress in Iraq. But I personally believe there's going to be violence in Iraq for years. The real issue about that's going to determine when we can begin to pull our troops out is the training of Iraqi troops.
Yeah.
And police forces, and when are they going to be ready? And clearly we've seen that we have been in there for 2.5 years, and they are not anywhere close.
No, they're not anywhere close to being ready. And what is ready is the insurgency, which deliberately targets police and military recruiting places, targets, depots, whatever. We've seen this happen time and time again. They, you know, the Iraqi police puts out a call for recruits. So a bunch of recruits come to a station somewhere, and what happens? A car bomb rolls up right alongside them and blows itself up. So what we're seeing is perhaps a response to the idea that it is not safe to serve in the Iraqi police force or in the Iraqi military. But whatever the reason, the fact remains that Dan Pashman's grandkids may end up having to serve in Iraq, or maybe even having their time in Iraq extended, which is happening to increasing numbers of American troops. The Japanese are talking about pulling out. I don't know. You know, the Brits are still. Tony Blair's legacy has been permanently stained by his friendship with George W. Bush. And I hate, you know, I wish I had a chance to talk to that man just to tell him, look, he's not worth it. Bush is not worth your friendship. He is not worth your allying yourself with somebody that really has no clue how he was going to secure the peace in Iraq. And now Blair's legacy is done. He is essentially finished. They're just waiting to see how much longer he's going to serve in office. And all this in pursuit of what? In pursuit of weapons of mass destruction that don't exist? In pursuit of bringing peace and freedom to Iraq? We've done neither on that accord. In pursuit of precisely what? When 160 people, most of them Iraqis, die in a four-day period. 160 people die in New York in 4 days. Somebody didn't impose martial law here. They wouldn't allow this to happen. Yet it is happening in Iraq, and we seem to be oblivious to the fact that the guy in the White House orchestrated this entire mess. It is ridiculous, and somebody needs to do something about it. And, you know, one of the things that has happened as a byproduct of Iraq and the war is there's been a spotlight put on military recruiting and on exactly what recruiters will do to get people into a depleted Army, Navy, Not so much Air Force. Air Force doesn't have recruiting problems. But the reserves, the National Guard, and they are reaching down into our high schools. They are reaching down to speak to our kids. Well, not all our kids are down with the program. We've got some people coming up next who actually have reacted and reacted very strongly to military recruiters at their local high school right here in New York City. And we're going to talk to them about exactly why they decided to take a stand. Could it have been the Cindy Sheehan Doppler effect? As Cindy Sheehan has stood up, more and more anti-war activists, even high school anti-war activists, are standing up and saying, no, you don't. You know, I sometimes think that, the military has a First Amendment right to recruit, certainly on the college level. If people want to buy into the idea of going into the service, I think the military ought to have a shot at them when they, you know, when they're in college, when they're of age. High school, I kind of take a different view. And so do our next guests who are coming up, because one wrote a song about it, and another has been an anti-war activist for an awfully long time during his life. They'll be joining us next, here on Air America Radio's Morning's Edition. It's 27 minutes past the hour. Thirty-four minutes past the hour. This is Morning Sedition. My name is Mark Riley. Mark Maron is out on a secret mission. And we can't tell you exactly what that mission is, but we will tell you very, very shortly. And we've got a couple of guests with us in studio. In recent months, we've heard many stories about the drop in military recruiting numbers and the increased pressure it's put on recruiters to find more new soldiers. Recruiters are haunting our nation's high schools in an effort to persuade young people to join the Army. And it's no accident that they're targeting low-income areas where the military is often the only option with a future. Well, our guests want students to think before they enlist. We're joined now by Ray Neal, now a college freshman who wrote a rap song about the recruiters at his high school, and Jim Murphy, an administrator at Westside High School here in New York City, who's also a longtime anti-war activist and Vietnam vet. Good morning to both of you. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. It's good to be here. Hey, Ray Neal, how you doing?
How you doing, Jim?
All right. Now, let's start with Jim Murphy. Jim, you're a Vietnam vet?
Yeah, I served there in 66, and then they sent me back at the end of 67. I was there through most of 68.
Now, were you recruited? Did you go in voluntarily, or were you drafted?
The interesting thing about when we talk in high schools is what happened to me is exactly what's happening now. As kind of a kid through high school, did the minimum, just barely got by, barely got out of school.
Damn, you sound like me.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of us.
Yeah, right.
But I tried community college, and I ended up playing poker more than going to classes, and I lost my deferment, and the next thing you know, I got my greetings letter. And I look at kids today, and kids that in high schools aren't being encouraged to really think about what they're capable of doing or could do. And therefore, when they get to graduation, they don't have a lot of options. And I'll tell you what, the Marine Corps dress uniform looks real pretty.
Yeah, yeah, it does on TV, too. And now they're offering, I think the Army is offering, like, free hats or something.
Oh, they offer all kinds of stuff. But we're starting to counter that. Veterans for Peace, we have a Hell No, I Won't Go tee tag that we handing out to the kids.
Oh, okay.
They love it.
Got swag,
yeah,
too.
We got to go with it.
There you go. Ray Neal, you were a student at Westside High School where Jim Murphy teaches, huh?
Yeah.
Now, what was it? Was the military presence at your school something that everybody knew about, everybody saw?
Well, we knew about it. We knew because we always spoke about it since 9/11. It's been a topic that's been spoken about very often. But the fact is that in Westside, they don't really allow recruiters to go into that school.
They don't?
No.
Why not? What do they say?
Well, Gene?
Yeah, Gene, the principal, Gene McTavish.
Oh, okay. He doesn't allow that in school.
So he doesn't allow them in school?
No.
Essentially what happens is recruiters aren't allowed to wander school. So if you look at the law, it says they have access to records of the kids that want to have them access their records. They're supposed to sign in the security, and they can go to the guidance counselor like any college counselor can. And they're always welcome to come to our one career fair a day. If you go to schools like DeWitt Clinton, they're in the gym classes, they're in the library, they're all over the high school.
Yeah. Really?
Same with Columbus and some of these other high schools. So at Westside, we're not anti-recruiter. We just follow the law, George Bush's law, the No Child Left Behind.
Behind
we're just very legal about it.
Well, you know, it's funny. There was talk at one point of allowing the military access to all high school students' records as a precondition for federal aid. This was a while ago, and that was killed. But, Raniel, what was it that, if the recruiters were not there in Westside High School, what led you to feel so strongly about this?
Basically, I'm very opinionated. Like, I like
Good.
I like reading a lot, and basically, I didn't think that the war was fair and it had a real cause to it. And just walking around, and I live in a society where you see that a lot. For example, it's like we being targeted, being targeted by these recruiters to try to join the military. And I've walked through places like Fordham Row, and they force you. They really stop you, and to the point that one of the guys was trying to hold my hand when I was walking.
On Fordham? Over by the concourse.
Bronx.
In the Bronx.
Yeah?
Now, why is the Bronx such a fertile place? I mean, is it just that the recruiters think, well, these folks are poor, they got no future, these kids, better put them in the military than have them on the street?
Well, I don't know. What is it that makes them come to those type of neighborhoods, but it just seems like they target those places.
Yeah, just a thing on it. Columbus High School is one of my favorite places to visit. Okay. There's like 15 recruiters there part time. Mm. One of the recruiters I met there who served in Iraq with honor. I mean, there's a schizophrenic thing with being a veteran and talking to guys that have come back from Iraq, and that you want them home safe. But this one recruiter, if you saw RNN's Mara Schiavo Campo, did this thing where they've taped this one recruiter who I know is a good guy, but he actually told a young lady that to stop taking her antidepressant medication until she got through the medical part and got to basic training. And so holding his hand or trying to hold him so that he couldn't walk away has to do with this. They're way behind on their numbers. There's incredible pressure on men and women who aren't necessarily bad people, but they see their military careers going down the tubes if they can't get kids to sign up. That's the kind of pressure that's happening.
Raniel, what are your compatriots, your friends, the people that you hang with, what do they say about going into the military? Are they enthusiastic? Are they just like, nah, that's not for me?
It's not for them.
Nah?
Because, you know, knowledge is contagious, so when I have to speak, I speak, and I don't allow my friends. Well, actually, there's only one of my friends who's currently, like, in the Navy right now.
Really?
And we did not agree with that.
Yeah? But he went.
He went.
You think he's going to stay? You think he'll re-up?
I don't think he's going to like it.
Oh, okay.
Because he knows better. He knows that it's not for him. It's not something he could do. He got a better future going to school, going to college like I'm doing and most of my friends are doing.
Now, go ahead, Jim.
I just want to interrupt here. I think there's a system thing that thinks that young people like Raniel don't see what's going on. Mm-hmm. And what's being discussed in the neighborhoods. These guys are coming back from Iraq, and they're not living in a vacuum. These guys are going to the little brothers and sisters and the people on the block, and they're saying, you don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. You just don't want to do it. They can see it. They can see that there's something wrong here. And the kids in the city are much more skeptical than people give them credit for. And I'm totally impressed with the kids that I meet and talk to in the high schools here.
Well, you know, I have to say, I think the kids in this city are a lot more sophisticated than most people give them credit for as well. But, Raniel, you wrote a song, a rap song about this,
yep,
huh?
Yep.
Why don't you run some of it?
You want me to run through the whole thing?
How long does it take?
It's not that long.
Then do it.
It goes, think about your life, the choices you make. Recruiters out to get you, don't make a mistake. It's obvious, right? They target a hood. Take a homeboy and write what's wrong and what's good. My words are truth, heal like a medicine. Don't believe me, man, holla at a veteran. It'll be better than the words I write. Do you really see a cause for the wars we fight? Aye, if not, then free your mind and focus on the prince, read between the lines. Time after time, it's harder than the lottery to see one of us not become their property. Probably, you'll get many promises. Don't leave it for later. Get on your grind and get it all on paper. Now, do you want to RIP Rainier from the NYC telling you there's no guarantee? JOB, you have no clue. This is for the ones who keep it real. In the military, you can't be you. So think, listen, and see. Is a puppet to America really all you can be?
Very nice. Nice job. Very nice job. Excellent. Now, where are you going to school? Which college?
BMCC.
Oh, BMCC, right downtown. Chamber Street. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, when you start talking about your future, do you want to have a future in music? Is that something you're looking to do?
Actually, communications.
Communications. Yeah. Oh, so you want to come here and do my job? Well, it's been nice having you. No, I'm kidding. But no, I mean, I think it's important that people realize that folks just don't walk into the military, with blinders on, or that they buy into this idea. And I think this was something the military pushed for many years, that the military was a way to go to college, mm-hmm. that you could get the money. Although I understand some years ago they did cut back on the amounts that they gave, but still that the military is a way to finance your education. Is that what recruiters are telling young people?
They telling you, I'm going to be honest with you. I've spoken to them before. I've spoken to one of them before. And it's like they try to take you any way possible. They try to give you anything you tell them. They try to, like, it's like a challenge. Hmm. I told them I was doing music. He told me that there's a rap program, there's rap stuff you could do, that they got rappers in the campus or whatever they call it. I told him, no, I want to do this. And everything I told him is like, okay, we have that too.
Really?
That's the way they try to take you. By anything you like doing, they try to like tell you that you could do that while you're doing army techniques or whatever you call it.
So they have a rap program in the service. Is that what they're
talking
about?
I'm not sure if that's true.
But that's what they told you.
That's what he told me.
Now, there have been stories, Jim Murphy, that some young people who have some problems in life or with drugs or whatever are being recruited or being told somehow that they can mask some of these problems.
Yeah, again, like most recruiters, they're just doing their job, and it's not necessarily a job they want. But the pressure on there, they're going to tell the kids basically anything they can. And some of the stories that I hear, because I get a lot of phone calls from around the country, are things like when kids sign up in delayed enlistment, which is a real hook.
Mm-hmm.
It's like getting married. You get engaged when you sign a delayed enlistment paper. But if you don't go to the altar, you're not married. And that's the way this thing works. But the recruiters infer to these kids, like in Rainey's case, if he'd been delayed enlistment and he said, no, I decided to change my mind, they'd start saying things like, we're going to check your mother's immigration status. You'll never be able to get a job. They'll say anything. A sergeant actually said to one of my kids, well, I'll see if I can get you discharged, but I want you to show up anyhow to catch the bus. Delayed enlistment, they're losing a lot of kids. Kids are changing their mind. They sign in November of their senior year, and then when the summer comes, they don't want to do it. And there's a lot of pressure to keep these guys on the bus.
Wow.
And a lot of kids are backing out now. They get to their senior year, and they see other options, maybe community college or whatever. But the pressure is to get them. The famous case is the thing with telling a kid to send away to this address to get a fake high school diploma so he could go in.
Really?
Yeah.
They've gone that far?
The other thing is cleansers, blood cleansers that supposedly will get you through the drug test.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad, but the recruiters are reduced to this to get their numbers up. And again, it gets back to the pressure to send bodies to Iraq.
Really? It really is that strong that they would actually have people, in some cases, cheat. To get it, to get them in.
A lot of, and it isn't, again, it's not every recruiter, but it's some recruiters, and mm-hmm. it's happening.
Well, they've been missing their recruiting numbers now for a good long while, probably about as long as we've been on the air, certainly since the war started. Right. Rainey, where do you do your rep? Who do you speak to?
No one. I speak to my inner me.
Oh, this is, okay. All right. Well, that's as good as anybody, right? Absolutely.
Well, Mother Jones was kind enough to make sure that he got to speak to their audience, and he got to this month's Mother Jones has an article on Rainey Allen.
Ah, fantastic. Real quickly, both of you, what about a draft? There's been some people, some progressives have said the only way to make this non-classist is to reinstate the draft. Jim Murphy?
Ideally, bring everybody home and we'll talk about it. But the other side of it is, if you read Charlie Rangel's proposed legislation. He proposed the legislation said that even the Bush twins can go, and there wouldn't have all the escape clauses that they used back in Vietnam. Mm. It would be like, if there's going to be a draft, I think Charlie Rangel's bill says there's no way out of this. And given the laws of today, if there's a draft, all women are subject to the draft, all men are subject to the draft, and if you look at the ADA, disabled people are subject to the draft.
Mm-hmm.
It's equal under the law. And if it's fair, it's fair. I don't see it happening because I don't think that people with the money in this country would risk having their children go into harm's way. It's okay if kids from the neighborhood go, but it's not okay for the kids
from the Bush twins to go. That's for sure. Jim Murphy, Rainey Allen, thank you both so much for being with us. It's been a real pleasure having you here. Appreciate it. When we come back, we got Rapture Watch coming up. I got a dog of the week, and we will solve the mystery of where Marc Maron has been for the last little while. That's coming up next on Air America Radio. It's 47 past the hour.
This is Wayne Gilman.
better known to the hard body mamas of the greater New York metropolitan area as Newsday. When I'm not busting a cap in some jive cat's ass for hogging the printer when I'm on deadline, I'm having a funky good time with Morning's Edition on Air America Radio.
Ooh, Newsday.
But look who's awake. Ready for another taste of Wayne?
Morning's Edition on Air America Radio.
Minutes past the hour. This is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. My name is Mark Riley. The other guy should be back momentito, as they say in Spanish radio. So he will be back. Don't go anywhere, all right? And it's time for my dog of the week. Whoa, well, whatever. Let me start out by saying that this week has produced more than its share of doggishness. There's Tom DeLay, who was indicted on a felony count that's rocked the halls of Congress. Or how about the people picked to replace him? Congressman David Dreyer and Roy Blunt have more than a few skeletons in their closets, and in Dreyer's case, that may not be a play on words. Yet this week's dog is one of us, a media person. He's even a media guy who admitted to me that he liked my work. Former Education Secretary Bill Bennett is now a commentator with his own morning radio show, just like Marin and I. Or Marin and me, depending on your grammar. Well, not quite just like us. This week, Bennett provoked a firestorm of justifiable outrage when he suggested that aborting black children would reduce the country's crime rate. He quickly followed with a caveat, but the damage was done. His comments were picked up by our friends at Media Matters, and now members of Congress and civil rights groups are demanding his show be suspended or canceled. Here's a news flash for you, Bill, old buddy. Here in New York, the crime rate has been going down for some time now without aborting every black baby conceived here. Maybe you'd know that if you weren't busy gambling away millions of dollars like you admitted just a couple of years ago. Bill Bennett, racist speculation should never be confused with informed commentary. Because you ought to know way better, you, Bill Bennett, are the Morning Sedition Dog of the Week. Thank you, Dan Pashman. You know, you're a magnificent guy, man.
That was a good one, Riley.
Yeah, well, hey, you know, the thing was, we walked into, I have to tell this story real quickly. We walked into the Republican National Convention last August, all right, in August of 04, all of us together, right? We walk in, the place is empty because it's 4 o'clock in the morning. Everybody's getting ready to do their morning shows. And we see off to one side, none other than Bill Bennett, who has a show. We don't have to publicize it here. But he sees me and, like, walks up and says, I really like you. I really like your work.
Been on C-SPAN, I think, the day before with Mark Simone. Well, you know, I bet that Bill Bennett really liked you, and I bet that he has a great time listening to you, Riley. How much you want to put on that bet? You think Bill Bennett will take that bet?
I don't know. Is he in Atlantic City this weekend? Could very well be. Look, you know, it's amazing to me, and I really hate to dog somebody that says they like me, but, I mean, in this case, the guy has been wrong on every issue known to
me. Well, he says he likes you, but he probably also thinks that you're going to rob him
based
on that statement that he said about blacks and crime.
Blacks and crime. I mean, how could you come out of your mouth and see, you say it and then say, well, that would be a ridiculous, terrible thing if that were to happen. First of all, you're speculating, you dipstick. Can't you understand? You're not talking about anything that's real in the real world. Not every black baby is going to be aborted, and you wouldn't know if they were, number one. Number two, the crime rate, certainly in this town, in New York City, which used to have an abominable crime rate, is at a 30 to 40 year low. So what are you talking about?
Well, you know, Bill Bennett aside, Riley, I think we have to let the listeners know that the mission has been accomplished.
Uh-oh.
Mark Maron's media mission has been accomplished. And we're going to let everybody in on that right now. This was Mark about 10 minutes ago on ABC's Good Morning America with Bill Weir and Paula Froelich from the New York Post. Maron is now a culture correspondent, I guess, for them.
Uh-oh.
We got sound of that, Chris?
And for some dish, we're joined this morning by Mark Maron, host of Air America's Morning Sedition, and Paula Froelich from the New York Post and television's The Insider. Applause would be nice at this point. Okay, that's enough.
Don't
got a little pen of women over there. Look at that. It's like a little corral filled
these
with
are
women.
This should be your dream.
I just know that there are men alone in hotel rooms all over Times Square going, go ahead, I don't want to go.
Tell me how you went. Well, this is by far, hands down, the story of the week.
Yes.
Demi Moore, Ashton Kutcher. Demi, all of 42, Ashton, 27, married bliss now. Is this for real?
This is like it's like Desperate Housewives, the reality show.
Yeah.
this is the big work that Mark Riley, this is the big work that Mark Maron is doing when he's not with you, Mark Riley. The biggest story of the week, right. Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah. So never mind about Iraq. Never mind about the rest of it. Demi and Ashton. I've never seen anything she's ever been in. Do you know?
Really?
I really feel left out of this. That's why, you know, culture stuff for me is like, 1970 something. Because I don't watch any of these. What has Ashton Kutcher ever done in his life anyway? Other than, you know.
Well, I think he just punked Demi Moore. That's what he just did.
Oh, is that what he did? Wow. What happens when he wakes up one day and, you know, like he's maybe 32 or 33 and she's 50 something? And he looks and says, whoa, what have I done, my God?
He goes and finds himself a teenager.
Ah, there you go. And she beats him over the head with a frying pan like Tony Perkins in Psycho. Anyway, we've got Rapture Watch. We've got a certain guy by the name of Angus McFarquhar. What he's going to do? You'll find out. And there's some problems for gay Republicans. We'll talk about that as well. This is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
It's 6 past the hour. It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's my friend Mark Riley.
He's back.
I just came back from the spaceship. Good morning, America, my friends. Wow. I was in an alternate universe moments ago in a different role than I usually play, but it was the role of funny guy.
Uh-oh.
I was funny guy. But I'll tell you, given what we do here, and I want to say hi to my driver, Maurice, Mark Riley, who's a huge fan of yours for
years.
What's
up, Maurice?
He listens to the show every morning, loves us, loves Randy. It was funny because he's like, what's Randy look like? And I didn't tell him the truth. That was cold, wasn't it? She's a lovely, lovely.
Now you got
awkward.
Another 5 minutes between
I
that
blew
up.
It. I blew it. No, you know what? It's interesting is that with radio, here, watch me backpedal, dude. With radio, it's like, you can't even guess what people look like. And all I'm saying is that she probably looks different than you think she does. That's,
Wow, you backpedaling faster than General Casey in front of Congress yesterday.
Why would I even pick on that? I love Randy Rhodes, and I just was being,
She's on her way here.
No, she's probably not up, but if she is, I'm going to pay for this across the country every day for weeks.
Yes.
But it was very interesting, Riley. I go up there, Paula Froelich, who is the gossip columnist on, she's page six
from the Post,
who we've had on our show, I've met before. We have an okay bit of chemistry there, but it is like going into a different world. I walk in. I didn't get to meet Diane. All right, number one.
Uh-oh.
Number two, they've got this pen. They don't have people sitting down. It's just this corral of women. We're standing there going, wee! which was cool. But the thing that blew me away, given what we talk about every day, in this studio, you and I, is that I'm sitting in front of a guy who says this to me.
Well, this is by far, hands down, the story of the week.
Yes.
Demi Moore, Ashton Kutcher. Demi, all of 42. Uh-huh. Ashton, 27, married bliss now.
Well, that's a Bill Weir. We live in two media Americas. There is no doubt about that, there is two media Americas. There's what we do and what goes on there. And it's interesting is that a lot of that stuff does not really hit my radar as something that I even process that much. But when I actually had to sit down and get caught up on celebrity relationships and stuff like that.
News of the week?
But
the
dude,
story of the week?
Dude, I was about to go, man. I was about to stand up for us. I was like on the edge of it, and I was just going to rip my shirt off and go, "We're the liberals rule."
Yeah.
I
want to go back.
We didn't get to it. That's what happened. Is that we didn't get to it. No, it was interesting because I forget that it is my job to be funny, and I can be funny in almost any situation. I got to be honest with you, it was kind of exciting.
Well, you know what? If this was 20 years ago, a corral of women in Times Square at 7 o'clock in the morning would have been a very different group. I'll tell you that now.
That's for sure, right?
Yeah.
Did I mention that Randy Rhoads is hot? Did I mention that? She's hot.
Oh, I am such an good. Idiot. She didn't hear that part.
I am an idiot. But I did not. You know what I told him? He said, I can't remember what he said exactly, but I said, well, she's short and she's got a nice figure. I said that.
You said that?
And she's very smart, and she's one of the great best shows on the network.
And he knows that we work out of here, right?
So
he may
up.
Be sitting over here about 2 o'clock this afternoon to watch Randy come to work. Is that what you say?
Hey, you know, we're going to be next week. I'm going to bail, Riley. I'm just going to leave it. I'm going to leave it. Next week, we're going to be in New Jersey. We are going to be at Maxwell's in Hoboken, New Jersey, a week from today, from 6 to 9 in the morning. That's October 7th. That should be fun. It's a great place. It's one of the great venues of rock and roll, alternative rock and roll. What am I? Did I just become 60? You know, I saw, you know, who did I see there? I saw, what's the name of that band? This is Yolo Tango. I saw that. I opened for them on their Jewish week.
Uh-oh.
Here we go. We've got things to do. The Bible's Book of Revelations portends the end of days and the second coming of the Christian Messiah, one of our president's favorite stories. Though no one knows when the end times will come, there are signs that will appear to men. Here on Morning Sedition, we won't let you be caught off guard by the end of the world. That's why we present this week's Rapture Watch with MILF Cardinal Milfington of the recently disgraced Diocese of Missoula, Montana. Your grace.
Heed my call, ye pheromone-worshipping suckers of raw wheatgrass extract, kneeling at the steroid-soaked man-teats of Jack LaLanne. Your soul is about to fall into the great vortex of Christ's twin gears sin extractor. And ground into a fibrous green liquid rich in divine nutrients and Jesus juice. Give ear into my speech and heed my disconnected paranoid thoughts. Anybody who's ever spent 4 days at rock camp studying under the guy who founded Hot Tuna?
Oh, Yorma!
What? Where the hell did that come from?
I'm sorry.
For the day is soon when Jesus will step out unto the clouds of glory with Al Hurt and his divine trumpet, shouting with a voice like archangel, like an archangel with the sacred words,
Sweet! Kia! Sweet!
Rollin', 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 keep both wagons rollin', rawhide! Ah, Satan, your powers are strong today. Ha, I throw my sandal upon thee. I throw my sandal upon thee. Thrice. Where the hell did that come from?
You're looking at me funny, Father.
You're not in this script, weirdo.
All right.
Go back to Good Morning America. Talk about relationships and Ashton Kutcher.
Get on with your little sketch.
Thrice abdominals ago, I spoke upon thee about a mouse that grounded an airliner for 13 hours. The week after that, I told you how a village in Puerto Rico was building a landing strip for UFOs. And the week after that, I told you sometimes all it takes is a quart of martinis to keep you from being able to make a sinister connection between a stupid mouse story and some dorks building a UFO landing strip. Be that as it may, the end times are nigh, ye hosers of Hosea. For this week's satanic nerds at MIT, or the Mephistopheles Institute of Terror, unveiled modern science's most sinister creation since the invention of latex. That's right, an affordable laptop computer.
Oh.
Yes, researchers said the computer will only cost $100, be durable, flexible, and self-reliant. Not unlike the unclean Sabian women of Harmahob.
Mm.
To top it off, these instruments of sin would be charged by hand crank. Now, I know what you're thinking, Cardinal. You're not going to equate the phrase hand crank with some deviant adolescent behavior encouraged by Satan, are you?
No.
Well, hell yeah. They're electronic emissaries of the Dark One, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
A sure sign of the rapture. For it was prophesied in Revelation version 1.7 beta. Behold, the beast shall cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him and hear his greeting.
Welcome. You've got mail. And then a great pestilence shall infect the land, whereupon Satan will come in unto your sister's bedchamber, commit Congress, and leave with the words,
file's done.
End quote. Now, I know what you're saying, Mark. These affordable laptop computers could help children in remote, poverty-stricken areas get an education and learn about life.
Uh-huh.
But there's a catch. These affordable laptop computers could also help children in remote, poverty-stricken areas get an education and learn about life. That was the joke. The only learning... You have a fart noise on that, too? You really are a comic.
I do have a fart noise.
Yeah. The only learning God approves of comes from one book and one book only, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not that into you. Man, if that thing can sell 5 million copies, you gotta know miracles can happen. But that's neither Montata nor Conchita Lombada. Because soon I'll be sitting at the throne of Jesus in his amusing dwarf Sneezy. Until then, fornicators, keep on fornicating, and we'll keep a light on for you.
In hell!
No, I wanted a rip shot.
Oh. Do it. Do the in hell.
In hell! Oh,
thank you!
We love you, Cardinal. I don't know. You know, I thought you looking at me, I was with the rawhide thing, I was going to do a little whipping thing, you know, and then it distracted you, and you got mad at me.
You have
and
a
now,
whip? You have a whip on that as well?
This is a machine, Jim. It's what the machine does.
Oh, by the way, there is no keep those wagons rolling in the rawhide.
Oh,
thing.
don't criticize the good Cardinal.
I only have so much time to do research at like 1 in the morning.
Ask the brother, man. Next time, ask the brother.
That's right, and we'll do that. That's our next segment. I think Riley just pitched a segment.
Ask the brother.
Ask the brother.
Ask the brother.
We should do that. Can we get on that?
Yeah.
And when we come back,
can you write it?
Yeah, you can write it. Do you have time?
Can you write?
You're busy writing these, you know, 29-minute bits. That, you know, that, I love him, though. Without you, this show is nothing.
Yeah, I thank you.
And
you
love you, man.
I know you love me.
Okay.
You're full of love.
Yeah. Angus McFarker, our new international correspondent, is calling us from where, Brendan?
I think it's Iran.
Oh, uh-oh. My God.
All right, last week he was in Scotland.
I remember that.
And there was a story about how Scotland was the most violent country
right.
on earth.
Right, yes.
So he covered that pretty well. I think this is about some kind of violent disruption in Iran. Go figure.
Wow.
And Angus is on the case.
Okay, so we got him on the line, and you'll hear him in just a minute. So it's 16 past the hour. You're listening to Air America Radio. It's morning show. Sedition.
You're listening to Morning Sedition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley.
No, we're not homosexual, but we are willing to learn.
Air America Radio.
Well, this is by far, hands down, the story of the week.
Yes.
Demi Moore, Ashton Kutcher. Demi, all of 42, uh-huh. Ashton, 27, married bliss now.
21 past the hour. It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hey.
That was Bill Weir as he introduced my segment on Good Morning America, which I appeared on today as a, I guess, a cultural critic of sorts. We didn't get to the John Roberts thing. We didn't get to the part where I take my shirt off and reveal the Down with Bush tattoo I got specifically for the show. I told them that's what I was closing with, but apparently not the right angle. They didn't want that.
Uh-oh.
But nonetheless, I got the... Got a good dig in at the Kabbalah. Got a great dig in at the culture of show business. I had a pretty good time.
Yeah,
I did actually. Hey, next week we're going to be in Hoboken, New Jersey, at Maxwell's. Next Friday from 6 to 9. If you want to come down, that's October 7th. Maxwell's is in. As I said, Hoboken, New Jersey, great rock and roll club, been there before. Earlier this week in Iran, scores of protesters who were angry at the European Union for trying to send Iran's nuclear case to the UN Secretary Council threw rocks and smoke bombs over the walls of the British Embassy compound. With more on this story is Morning Sedition foreign correspondent Angus McFarker, reporting from Tehran. How are the conditions there, Angus?
Complete bollocks, Mark! I'm standing in front of the British Embassy where there's still quite a few protesters chanting and throwing wee stones and smoke bombs and what have you. Suffice it to say, this lot is not happy, Mark. I saw that. You're pushing me, brother.
What are Angus, what do the protesters want? For England to support Iran's nuclear ambitions?
What they want, Mark, is to become a giant festered and pimple on my backside. Oh, no. I wouldn't get to be back in Glasgow right now with a pint. Oi! Bugger off, you! You're almost a fat slag! Go and support you, will you, kid, man! Yeah,
now, wait, Angus, are the British attempting to stop them in any way?
Oh,
or?
That's a good one! You should go into comedy, lad, like Billy Connolly! Have you ever known the English to do anything right? Wanking in a circle is about all they can manage for the British, Mark!
Okay, so Angus, you're...
Hey! Roy! Hey! It's really funny to hit the reporter with a rock, is it, Mohammed? What am I doing here for you? Why don't you face me like a man, huh? You want to visit the land, do you? Well, you're going to be meeting them today, son. I promise you that. Wanker! Wanker!
Oh, my God.
Wanker, come on.
All right, Angus.
Come on.
Thank you, Angus. Thank you for that report. That was very insightful. Very.
Angus McFarlane here on for morning edition. Hey, you're going to have to hit harder than that, Nancy.
All right. We'll check back with you next week, Angus McFarker in Iran.
Did he just call an Iranian Nancy?
I think he did. I don't know if he's the right guy for that job, but I certainly makes the reports kind of interesting. You know, one of the great secrets of the GOP, the Republican Party, is that many of them are gay.
Ooh,
yes,
no.
Yes,
couldn't be.
Yes, there is a sexual identity issue to the Republican Party, my friends.
You're kidding me.
Right? I am not kidding you. And we're going to talk to somebody very shortly about that. We're going to have journalist and blogger Doug Ireland, who's going to tell us the real reason why Congressman David Dreyer was passed over. Okay? He was passed over to be the guy who steps in place of DeLay. He is, I don't know, is he still co-running things with Roy Blunt?
He's doing some co-dependent gig. I don't know exactly how they've divided up DeLay's power, but he's got a little of it.
Well, you know, we're going to talk to him. We're going to talk to Doug Ireland about the issue of David Dreyer's suspected homosexuality. Not that that is a negative thing, and that is not why I am talking about it, and that is not why we are joining on board with the outing of David Dreyer, because it is the reason we are is because it's important to acknowledge the hypocrisy of the GOP on all levels. And this is a guy that is a GOP loyalist. He is a defender of Tom DeLay. He is a hardcore Republican. Yet this, you know, these secrets occur. And when a situation like what has arisen where he is stepping into place, it is clear that they made a judgment on him for probably this reason. And we think, along with some other analysts of the situation, certainly from the left, that he should come out. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. I would like to mention, I'm sure you've already heard, that John Roberts was sworn in yesterday as Chief Justice in a ceremony in Washington. So now it's time to get back to the big work of limiting women to baby-making and minorities to poverty.
Yep.
Any day now, I guess, Bush could name a possible successor for O'Connor. Sandra Day O'Connor, you know, hanging out until she gets a replacement. What are you thinking, Riley?
Well, you know, it now looks as though the Bush people are saying, well, the announcement may not come till next week sometime.
Mm-hmm.
That may be. Now, they're saying that they're doing this to kind of parade John Roberts around D.C., I guess. Here's the new hail to the new Chief Justice.
Yeah.
But there is, you know, rampant speculation. I think Scott McClellan said yesterday something on the order of they're down to 5 or 6 people.
Yeah.
That the president is seriously considering. I hope that the Democrats are girding their loins, mm-hmm. let's put it most charitably, so they're ready to fight this time if it's the wrong person.
Well, I hope you're right. You know, even on Good Morning America, I drew a
Good Morning Air America.
Yeah, Good Morning. I drew a comparison between, you know, apparently Ben Affleck has some political aspirations or is being pushed into politics.
Uh-oh.
And Paula Froelich had brought up that he campaigned with Kerry, and I said, well, they both have the same sort of charisma deficiency, so that makes sense. You know, and then I was talking to somebody else about the idea of Al Gore possibly being president again. I think it's a great story, the comeback kid. But what I'm getting at is we haven't got a clue. Democrats don't have a clue, and they don't. They just want to sit along the sidelines and wait for things to unfold where there's a gap here.
Oh.
They could really take control in terms of not the spin, but their agenda,
yes.
Their values. Let's have it. When we come back, journalist and blogger Doug Ireland will tell us the reason why Congressman David Dreyer was passed over, and it was because he was gay. He was gay. 27 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Morning Tradition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
34 past the hour. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Reilly.
Hey.
Fair America Radio's Morning Sedition program. It is Friday. We're heading into it. Thank God. Thank God. I'm going to do a little comedy, I believe, at Gotham Comedy Club this weekend. I'm not making a big deal out of it, but if you want to come down, that's available to you. Also, next week, we're going to be in New Jersey at Maxwell's in Hoboken next Friday for a big live show from 6 to 9 in the morning. Now, listen, the man chosen initially by Denny Hastert to co-manage the GOP, the House, while DeLay was being a criminal, is gay. His name is Representative David Dreyer.
Allegedly.
I am not outing him. It has already been done, and I think it is important to acknowledge. The hypocrisy of it cries out for attention, Riley. Dreyer was initially outed by activist and blogger Mike Rogers of Blog Active and John Byrne of Raw Stories and our guest that we're going to talk to in just a couple minutes here, longtime gay rights author Doug Ireland, who's going to be on the air with us. Now, look, David Dreyer is a real Republican. He's a real conservative. He is a close ally of Tom DeLay's. He's even more loyal to him than Roy Blunt. And he has been a defender of DeLay's in the past. And he's been a donator to DeLay's
defense fund.
Sure.
$5,000 worth.
And most importantly, he's been anti-gay.
Yes.
Now, this hypocrisy, this sort of weird cancer, I don't know how the hell people live with themselves with that, but there's a tradition of it in Republican circles. Roy Cohn is...
going back to Roy Cohn.
And he was at the heart of the communist witch hunt that took place in this country in the 50s. And that was a manifestation, I would say, out of his own self-contempt and inability to be honest. And I think that I'm not going to speculate about someone's psychology, though I love to. I think we should talk to our guest about it, about the implications of this and whether or not, as you said, it is... the bottom line is, for a few hours Wednesday, the word was that California Congressman David Dreyer would be taking over for Tom DeLay as House Majority Leader. And that it was quickly scuttled, that idea. The post was given to Roy Blunt. But why? All right. Many believe it was because Dreyer is a closeted homosexual, and Republicans couldn't have that, of course. And so joining us now to tell us more is a journalist and blogger behind the Dreyerland blog. Good morning, Doug Ireland. How are you?
Morning, Mark. I'm Mark. How are you guys?
All right. Good morning, Doug.
We're doing good. So now let's just be honest. Was Congressman Dreyer turned down for House Majority Leader because he was gay?
That was certainly one of the factors. There were a number of contributing factors for the mini revolt against Speaker Hastert's choice of David Dreyer to succeed Tom DeLay.
So what proof do you have?
I've done some reporting on this, talking to people on Capitol Hill, and what I'm picking up is that there was a feeling that Dreyer wasn't conservative enough.
Okay.
He's a pretty conservative fellow.
Yeah.
But he does happen to be pro-choice. He favors some restrictions on abortion, but he doesn't oppose it altogether. And of course,
yeah.
The Christian right in the House doesn't care for that.
Obviously,
There was another factor, which was the fact that there's been a lot of grumbling going back to the reorganization of the House following last fall's congressional election. There was a great deal of unhappiness with the fact that Californians wound up with a rather disproportionate number of important House committee chairmanships.
Dreyer
at Rules, Bill Thomas at Appropriations, and about six or seven others. And
so, hey, so Doug.
There was unhappiness with elevating a Californian to be majority leader.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all these other committee chairmen were also Californians. And then, of course, there was the fact that David Dreyer is a closet case gay and is well known in Capitol Hill to be so.
So now, what do you think he should do? What do you think? Would you like to see someone of his profile come out? Would you like to? Do you think that that his closetedness, that his obviously discomfort with his sexuality within his party, is part of why he is legislating the way he is?
Well, I think that anybody who has to lie about who they are is suffering a form of schizophrenia.
Yeah.
And I think Mr. Dreyer would be a happier fella if he would acknowledge who he is.
Yes.
And stop having to live live a lie. You know, the fact is that his self-loathing is so deep and that he is consistently voted to deny his fellow gay brothers and sisters full equality before the law.
Uh-huh.
He's voted against, for example, allowing gay couples to adopt children in the District of Columbia, which is controlled by the Congress. He voted to.
Uh-huh.
He voted just a couple of weeks ago against including gays in the Hate Crimes Prevention Act.
Yeah. Where do you think? I gotta be honest with you. Do you think it would be in a yes or no answer? Do you think there's any chance of this guy coming out because he's been jilted here?
I don't see it at this point. He's been living this lie for an awful long time.
He's been
living with his male chief of staff, Brad Smith, for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
He has him on the payroll at his lover, Brad Smith, is the highest paid chief of staff of any congressional committee chairman.
Well, it sounds like he's got to do more in his job than most chiefs of staff. Hey, Doug, thanks for talking to us. I really appreciate it. That's Doug Ireland from the Ireland blog. What's interesting that he was saying is Doug was saying that, this, everyone has known about this for a long time. And it's just interesting to me, Riley, that he was able to make it up the chain as far as he was able to make it up the chain. Obviously, this represents a schism within the Republican Party, is that there is some regular conservatives, apparently, that are willing to overlook someone's sexuality for political means, and there is the Christian fanatic element of it that will not tolerate any of it, just because that's who they are. And this guy represents the center of that schism.
Well, yeah, and Dreyer was willing to go along, to get along, to vote against virtually every pro-gay initiative that came before the House of Representatives, in pursuit of the same power, by the way, that all the rest of these guys are pursuing now that DeLay is halfway gone down.
It's amazing to me that I hope that their fragmentation continues. I hope that all of these guys in the House and in the Senate start jockeying for positions. I hope that chaos ensues. I hope there is a power struggle. And I hope to God that the Democrats start to capitalize on this in terms of promoting their principles.
Well, there are two things that come out of this right off the top, politically.
Yeah.
One, is Denny Hastert at all damaged as Speaker by having, presided over this debacle after having put out that Dreyer was going to get it and then suddenly having to do some kind of a gerrymandering cut-and-paste operation to replace DeLay. The other question, this is a question that Doug Ireland did bring up in a column that he wrote in L.A. Weekly, is whether or not Dreyer's hiring of his live-in companion, Smith, violates any laws. Remember, Jim McGreevy, the governor of New Jersey, had to resign after he reportedly put his companion in a fairly sensitive government job, paying six figures. Well, that's what happens here.
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, this has been known for a while. These guys have been on this beat for a while in terms of bringing that to light. We'll see if that any legal action takes place. Doesn't seem like it to me, but I am excited that it did cause a little turmoil within the ranks of the GOP.
Oh, that's just the beginning. This is just the beginning of the turmoil inside the GOP because, while the rat's away, the mice are trying to play.
It's exciting news. We got, we got Mark the Shark coming up in just a few minutes. We'll have the Cliff Notes for you in just a few minutes in that, and we'll finish up our week here. It's 43 past the hour, Air America Radio's Morning Sedition.
MorningSedition.com. Our guests, our comedy, your blog. MorningSedition.com, Air America Radio.
What's up? Let's land this thing. It's 48 past the hour. Man, I've been on two ships today.
Uh-oh.
It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley. It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program. I went to the spaceship Good Morning America earlier. That was weird.
With the corral of women.
Yes, and I called my mommy.
You called your mom?
Yeah, I called my mommy after I got done doing Good Morning America. I said, Mommy, did I look pretty? And she goes, yes, you look great, and you were very funny.
There you go.
How often does that happen? So, look, you know, we got the Cliff Notes coming up. We've got, Riley, I'm excited about the weekend. I will tell you that right now.
What are you getting ready to do?
Oh, sorry. What do we got? We got a phone call here. Wait a minute. Hold on. Who's on the phone? Hello?
Hi, Mark and Mark. This is Ted from Nebraska. Okay. Once again, you liberals seem to think it's okay to attack Tom DeLay.
Oh, no, it's happening. Oh, no, I hate when... help me, Riley. Oh, my God. Oh, no, it's happening. My thoughts are starting to change. I'm becoming him. Oh, no.
Hell, Pennsylvania.
Live from Radio Halliburton, it's Right and Early, the conservatives' way to wake up with Mark the Shark Maron.
Good morning, neocons. So the Democrats indicted Tom DeLay, the hammer, the hero, the martyr. Well, congratulations. You liberals managed to nail something besides a fetus. Well, let me tell you something, tough guys. You want to move up on weight class? Step into the Thunderdome, my friends.
Oh, I'm Prosecutor Ronnie Earle, and I'm indulging in blatant political partisanship because the Democrats can't win elections. I don't waste my time prosecuting drug dealers and terrorists and pedophiles. I'd rather make reckless claims about a great American who has a bigger penis than I do.
Listen up, Earle. The day you take the hammer, you're going to have to pry him from my cold, dead fingers. Oh, that sounded kind of gay. But you know what I mean, people. You know who else I love in a not gay way? I love that Michael Brown. They tried to blame him for the so-called slow response on Hurricane Katrina. Well, here's how Brownie responded to that. Hey, Governor Kathleen Blanco. Hey, were you prepared for that? Huh? I don't think so. Hey, Mayor Ray Nagin, did you see this one coming? Hey, yeah, you want a handout? Here it comes. Look, folks, here's what I say. Give New Orleans back to the French. They built it, let them rebuild it. What kind of people would build a city in a bowl under sea level? They've even got a word for it. Idiot.
Oh, I am a stupid Frenchman, and my mistresses and my wine and my stinky cheeses. We will rebuild New Orleans as a paradise for prostitutes and accordion music and tiny bathing trunks that expose my taut buttocks. Oh, too much brie. Who can I surrender to before I wipe my derriere with the American flag?
Go ahead, Antoine. Take New Orleans back. You can sit on your stinking mud flats and play with your squeeze box and gather up those New Orleans refugees scattered all over the country before the rest of America starts to look like Congo Square. Oh, I mean, with the public nudity and the breasts and the beads and all. Don't try to twist my words, liberals. Remember the real victim, Tom DeLay.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Stick around, neocons. We'll be back with Toby Keith.
Don't touch that dial, Patriot. We'll be back with Right and Early.
Oh, wait, wow, man.
You okay?
Was I just on Good Morning America?
Yeah, that you were.
I had this weird dream that I had. It was on Good Morning America.
No, that wasn't a dream.
There was bad things coming out of my face.
Well, I mean, the thing about Antoine was a little over the top. But I get you.
What are you talking about? I don't even know what happened here.
Well,
you know, we got a report last Monday. Remember this, that there was an Al-Qaeda dispatch, an Al-Qaeda news network, that they were actually broadcasting over the Internet, a television show that had a masked anchor. They had a Koran on the desk. They had a gun on a tripod set at the camera. They actually had an ad for Total Jihad, a movie in English. And this is a real thing. I mean, you know, they say they don't like American values, but certainly they must like American show business. Well, fortunately, we here at Air America were able to lock down one of this last dispatch from the Al-Qaeda News Network, and I think it's important for America to hear it. Can we listen to it?
From around the world, out of an undisclosed location, and from under a hood to hide our identity, this is Al-Qaeda News.
Good evening. And by that, we mean death to American imperialism.
And George Bush.
All right, enough. I'm Mahmoud, and this is my partner, Mohammed. And this is Al-Qaeda News. Tonight's top story, the castrating witch, Lindy England, was sentenced to prison for abusing detainees at Abu Ghraib. Another news? No one is fooled!
Yes, my sources inform me Lindy England is secretly being rewarded with figs and sex with multiple partners. Turning to the world of sports, what am I looking, camera one or camera two? Camera one, camera two.
Camera two! Why don't you ever rehearse?
Camera two! Camera two! Camera two! Camera two! Turning to the world of sports, the baseball season is heading into the home stretch, with St. Louis and Chicago earning the most promising season stats. That can only mean one thing.
George Bush will fail and be ripped apart by jackals while he screams for mercy. As Allah wills it.
Yes, and Dick Cheney is still on the injury list.
Bush has already fallen into our trap in Iraq. Soon, worms will writhe in his bowels and he will create teeters of fire.
And Houston looks like it's nailed down the National League wildcard spot.
Crap, I had $10 on Florida.
Coming up, Ahmed will bring you the Jihad Minute, and Abdullah will describe the tortures awaiting the infidel when Allah returns with his mighty scimitar. But first, Tina, our weather girl.
Hey guys, it's gonna be a hot one in Fallujah tomorrow, with temperatures in the low hundreds and a dust factor of 6. So why don't you get out that lightweight burqa and head off to the beach for a last blast of summer?
Thanks, Tina.
She is the best hostage we have ever taken!
Oh yes, and now we pause for a word from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Wendy Friesen. Do you want to quit smoking, lose weight, or die for jihad? My hypnotherapy can help you where everything else fails. Diet doesn't work. Program doesn't work. You come here, I will change brain. Now back to show. Back to show!
Okay, that's all today for our kind of news.
Remember, if you don't like the news,
kill it!
Bye-bye, everyone.
Wow, that is that's a disturbing bit of footage, man. I guess that we're gonna try to get some. We're gonna try and get that every week. I hope, you know. It's
please, it's, please hope.
Yeah, it's frightening, and you know, I don't know that this information is available anywhere. I imagine that's gonna hit the wires, and we might make news with that.
Uh oh.
Do you think?
Well, I don't know, man. Between actually, that and Angus,
what's that, Chris?
I'm actually wondering what Tina looks like.
Uh-oh. Well, yeah, I hope she's okay. Is really what that, what I'm worried about? Is that?
Well, the dust factor is 6, which is kind of hot.
Right, yeah. But you know she is a hostage, and I just hope she keeps up the good work as a weather girl.
They need her down there.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They do. It's important to get that appeal in, because a lot of people, all they care about is the weather. For those of you who are just tuning in, here are a few highlights of what we talked about on the program. It's time for today's Morning Sedition Cliff Notes. Tom DeLay will be forced to appear in Austin for his arraignment next month. Experts say a photo of Tom DeLay's booking could be the most downloaded picture of a person in handcuffs ever on the internet, at least for a handcuff picture that didn't also involve a ball gag. John Roberts has been sworn in as the 17th Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. For his swearing-in ceremony, Roberts was fitted with an asbestos glove so he can take the oath with his hand on the Bible. A new study shows that poor people can't afford to buy healthy foods. Government officials are working on ways to get poor Americans to healthier foods. One way is promising them that they can eat all the fruits, vegetables, and exercise they want in the army. Experts say the solution may be as simple as steering poor people to the better quality dumpsters behind health food stores. Today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. So now Iraq has female suicide bombers. At least now we know what George Bush meant when he promised equality for women in the new Iraq. Wake up, sheeple. Sometimes the best man for the explosion is a woman.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. What,
congratulations,
kinda...
though, Merriman. Yes, sir. Great job there. Good Morning America and things.
Oh, it's kind of interesting.
Know, pop culture, it was, Desperate Housewives.
As long as I've been in this business, I never experienced a national morning television before. It was quite a different world.
Now you know what's going to be next?
What?
Sports.
I know. I'm watching Mike and the Mad Dog. I'm trying to understand.
Hey, guess what? Next week, we've got John Lennon's first wife, Cynthia Lennon, Sex and the City creator Candace Bushnell, Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa, and all your favorite comedy coming up right here next week on Air America Radio. Have a good weekend, Marin.
You too, Riley.
See ya.
All right.